Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the Tuesday broadcast of Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett wishing you a very happy new year. And maybe 2020 was a difficult year for you. I am praying for you that 2021 will be a better year for you. Now, one of the ways that you can ensure this year will be a better year for you is by getting into God's Word. So every day at the beginning of the broadcast this week, I'm going to remind you of a challenge, and I'm going to give you an offer that I hope that you will take advantage of. Here's the challenge. Will you this year read 5 Psalms every morning and 1 proverb every morning? It doesn't necessarily have to be in the morning, but sometime throughout the day, will you take that challenge to read 5 Psalms and 1 proverb every day throughout the year? Now, if you take that challenge, you're going to be going through the book of Psalms every month, the book of Proverbs every month. At the end of 2021, I promise you, it'll be a better year for you if you take this challenge, because you have gone through much of God's Word. You'll be spending a lot of time in the book of Psalms, which is a place where we get our encouragement. The book of Psalms, by some, have been called the Songs of Jesus. Jesus often referred to the book of Psalms in his earthly ministry. A lot of it was written by David. David wrote a lot of the Psalms as he was brokenhearted over his sin, as he was brokenhearted over the fact that sometimes his enemies would overcome him and he'd feel overwhelmed. Sometimes he would sing praises unto the Lord just because he was so caught up in understanding who Christ is. And the last chapter in the book of Psalms is really a great chapter, and it's kind of like a worship service. And David is crying out to the Lord in that last chapter of Psalm 150, and he's listing all of the different instruments that he uses to praise the Lord. And so I want to encourage you, read 5 Psalms every day. Now, there is an app that you can load on your phone. It's a free app. It's called the 5 Psalms app, and it's got a picture of a hand on it, and across that hand in Hebrew is the word Psalms. So load that onto your phone. It's a free app, and every day you open up that app, it's going to go to that date, and you're going to read 5 Psalms. Also, I have an offer for you. I'd like to know who listens to the broadcast, and I want to show my appreciation to you for listening to the broadcast. So we have a devotional book that is 365-day devotional book by Pastor Tim Keller and his wife, Kathy, and it's actually a devotional on the book of Proverbs. So if you will write to me or call me, the best way is probably to call me, 757-421-7500. That's the phone number for the church, 757-421-7500. Leave me your name and your address, and I'll make sure that I send you a copy of this book. It's not a real big book. It'll take you maybe 5 or 6 minutes every morning or afternoon or evening to read through it, but you'll be going through the entire book of Psalms with some really good encouraging words, some really good instructions. So just call me with your name and address, 757-421-7500. And if there's nobody answering the phone, leave it on the voicemail, and I'll make sure I get that book to you into the mail and get it into your hands as soon as possible, okay? Well, thank you so much for tuning in today. Today, I want to talk to you about the various gifts that God has for us. Now, yesterday, we talked about joy. We talked about the shepherds being filled with joy. Well, today I want to talk to you about peace. Peace. Luke chapter 2 says this: suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest in heaven, peace on earth to all those whom God is pleased." Now, I love this particular passage, and I know this is kind of a Christmas passage, but I look at who God is revealing this message of the coming of the Messiah to. It's a small little tribe, Naphtali. Now, Naphtali, as you look at their history, includes incomplete obedience, shades of cowardice, but it also includes some acts of bravery. For example, when Gideon was alive, Gideon provided some godly support to King David. Probably the greatest lesson that we can take from Naphtali is that God exalts the humble. Naphtali, which was part of Galilee, was despised. And Nazareth was the lowest of the low. Yet in Nazareth, that was Jesus' hometown, and in Galilee, that's exactly where Jesus came. That's exactly where he decided to begin his ministry and to close off his ministry. So for our sakes, we can understand that he became despised and rejected by men. That's a prophecy given to us in Isaiah 53. the King of Kings had the most unpretentious start and the most humble finish. Maybe that's why Jesus was truly humble in heart. I want to encourage you today as you think about how God can use anybody who is available. I have discovered that God is much more interested in our availability than he is our ability. Let's go back and look at Gideon for just a moment. Gideon, we learn, was used by God in a mighty way. We read about his story in the book of Judges. It says, there's going to be gloom and darkness in all of Galilee, and God is going to raise up a great warrior, and he does. He raises up a guy by the name of Gideon. Gideon has a great responsibility. He is given this opportunity to fight back the enemies of God, and we discover that he takes an army of 32,000, and then God says that's too big, and he gets it down to 10,000, and God says that's still too big, and then it gets down to 300, and God brings about victory. Now, why did God reduce the army so much? I think that God wanted him getting to understand that he was bringing the victory. The battle belongs to the Lord, we learn from this passage. And the battle is what's going to be setting us free. God is going to give us victory in the midst of this battle. I think about when Jesus came onto the scene. Isaiah kind of gives a hint as to what was happening during this time in Isaiah chapter 9, when he says, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be resting upon his shoulders, and he shall call his name Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace." You see, when Jesus came, it was a world filled with war and violence. You know, it's difficult to see how Jesus could be the all-powerful God who acts in human history and then be this embodiment of peace. But physical safety and political harmony don't necessarily reflect the kind of peace that he's talking about. You know, that word peace in the Hebrew actually means shalom. It actually means that we are of unity of spirit. Unity in one accord. In other words, our tranquility, we are in one accord with God. It's amazing how you can be at peace in the midst of chaos. I mean, you think about how we're living today. In our sinful state, we were enemies with God. But God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And when we receive that gift of salvation, we are no longer enemies of God. We are at peace with God. And it's all because of what Christ did for us. We are restored into a relationship of peace with God. Now, this is a deep and it's an abiding peace. It's between our hearts and the hearts of the Creator. And it's a peace that cannot be taken away. We understand that ultimately, Christ is the Prince of Peace. Now, all of this sounds good theologically, and I've kind of laid out a theological premise for the fact that we're at peace with God. But then reality sets in, right? Then life happens. So let's spend a few minutes talking about what steals our peace. What causes us to lose peace in our lives? Well, here's the first thing I think that will cause us to lose peace, and we'll call it strife. That person in your life that creates strife, and sometimes that person is me. Sometimes I cause the greatest strife in my own life by my stinking thinking, right? By my wrong perception as to what is happening. But it might be somebody else. It might be critical Carol. It might be controlling Kevin. It might be mean Marty or mad Mary or passive aggressive Paula or inappropriate Peter. It might be whiny Walt in your life. It might be better than anybody else, Bart, or Grandpa Grinch. You see, all these people are in our lives, and strife can develop when we have differences of opinion, when we have different priorities. You see, strife is always accompanied by pride and an unteachable spirit in one or both people. Proverbs 13:10 says, "Where there is strife, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice." You see, when somebody refuses to consider another viewpoint and demands his own way, strife results. Somebody bent on strife will not allow compromise, negotiation, or humility. Strife alienates friends, divides family, and it can even destroy churches. So if you have strife in your life today, I'm going to pray that God will release that strife from you. And you might have to do some confrontation of those who are creating this strife. But it's God's will that we live at peace as much as is possible within us to live at peace with all men. Well, there's a second thing that will steal our peace, and we could call this worry or fear. You think about all the things that we have to do, all the events that we have to attend, all the things we got to take care of with our homes. I think the hopes and fears of all of the world are met in Christ. In 1868, Pastor Philip Brooks needed a song for the kids to sing at a Christmas service at his church. Not satisfied with the other songs that he had heard, Brooks decided to write a song himself. Inspired by a Christmas Eve service Brooks had attended in Bethlehem, he decided to sit down and pen the words to a very popular Christmas carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Don't you love that song? How it encourages us in these times that we are worried about things. O little town of Bethlehem, that word Bethlehem means basket of bread or provider of bread. Isn't it amazing that the giver of bread, Jesus Christ, was born in Bethlehem, the bread basket of bread? How still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by, yet in thy dark streets shineth. Don't you love that? Shines an everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch on wondering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and precious sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. You see, we are busy by nature. And so I want to encourage you, don't let fear, don't let worry rob you of your peace. It is that peace that transcends all understanding. Well, maybe today as you listen to this broadcast, you say, well, I'm not really worried about strife and I don't have any fears right now in my life. Maybe you're losing your peace today because you are fighting debt. You know, an annual reminder, now that we're into the new year, maybe you're going to be getting that credit card statement in the mail pretty soon, or maybe you've already looked on your account. You got online and looked at your account and says, oh my, I have got some Christmas debt. I have got some financial things I need to take care of. Debt is that annual reminder that you still didn't plan. You still didn't save. You still didn't prepare. You know, I was looking at some stats as I was putting together this message on debt and how debt can rob us of peace. Do you know the average person will spend $1,000 on Christmas gifts? 57% of those who buy Christmas gifts do not have the money set aside to buy these gifts. As you think about Christmas, maybe it was a time of digging deeper into debt, and you've lost your joy. Do you know that even church-going Christians haven't been given to their church? 53% haven't given within the last 30 days. Not only that, but church giving has never exceeded 3% of our income in the past 40 years. In other words, church members, maybe they want to give, but they're so burdened by personal debt that they can't give. In the early 1960s, the average American only had a debt of about $4,000. Today, the average American has a debt of about $137,000. In 1967, the average home price was $22,000. Today, the median home price in the United States is $205,000. That's a 16% increase over a 50-year period. In other words, things are just plain more expensive these days. Whether it be education or housing or food or transportation, all things are increasing. We're told in Romans chapter 13, verse number 8, that we're to owe nothing but love. Even our nation is in an unbelievable amount of debt. You see, debt can rob you of your peace. Well, there's something else that can rob you of your peace. We talked about worry. We've talked about debt. We've talked about fear. There's something else that can rob you of your peace, and that is guilt. Past regrets, wishing that you had done something better, wishing that you had done something different. You know, we get filled with guilt. That leads to depression. That is that we get depressed because we're pushing down. We're pushing down this feeling of guilt, and it can actually lead to a chemical imbalance. Long periods of stress, dramatic events that we struggle to get past leads to spiritual depression. We know in our hearts, and then our hearts actually get hardened because we're driven by guilt. David acknowledged that in Psalm 38 when he says, "My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear." It's amazing that in spite of trying to change laws to make just about anything that's wrong right, we haven't been able to eradicate guilt. Guilt is one of those good, bad things, I guess you could say. I mean, in some ways, it's good to feel guilty because it's that conviction that we need to do something different. We've done something wrong, now it's time to do something right. But on the other hand, guilt can be a very bad thing when it takes you on a long trip and prevents you from moving forward. I like the story of the little boy who instinctively answered the telephone and he whispered, "Hello," in a real soft voice. The voice on the other end said, "Well, hello, is your mother home?" The little guy answered, "Yeah, but she's busy." "Is your father home?" "Yeah, but he's busy too." "Well, is there any other adult in the house that I might talk to?" "Yeah, there's a policeman and a fireman." "May I speak to one of them?" "No, they're busy too." "Well, what's everybody so busy doing?" The little boy whispered, "They're looking for me." You see, when we're guilty, we're instinctively one to hide. I think it's woven into our genes somehow. Hiding is exactly what Adam and Eve did. You see, they fell into sin. They were overwhelmed with guilt. They tried to cover themselves over with fig leaves. And God comes after them and they're trying to hide. Like, you can't really hide from God, but let's go ahead and try, right? You know, there are five ways, I believe, that you can have peace. Five ways that you can glorify God. And in the remainder of this broadcast today, I want to quickly give you these five ways to have peace. And a byproduct of that, not only will you be calm and tranquil, but you'll also have the opportunity to glorify God. Well, number one, you can have relational peace, and that is found through forgiveness. Matthew 6:14, Jesus says, "If," and I underline that, highlight, "if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins." You see, Jesus wants us to love our enemies and pray for those who spitefully use us, but he wants us to be quick to forgive. There's not actually a contingency here saying if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. Terry Anderson was an Associated reporter who was taken captive in Beirut. He was captured and held prisoner for 2,455 days, about 7 years. He wrote about what happened in that event. As he talked about being held hostage by the Shiite Hezbollah, he shared how he felt when he was finally released. When he was finally released, he says, "I had to forgive those who held me captive." Are you going to be one of those who holds a grudge? Maybe it's a nice grudge. A nice grudge growing up and it turns into a big grudge. Or are you going to let it go? Terry Anderson said, "I had to let it go. I could not change the past, so I let it go and I forgave." Romans 12:18 says, "If it is possible, as far as depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Be quick to forgive. Do not hang on to grudges. Do not hang on to resentments. You can never get better by nursing a grudge." James reminds us that wisdom that comes from above is peace loving. If you want to have wisdom from above, you must forgive. You know, peace is actually given to us as we release. As we release ourselves of an offense, God fills us with his peace. You don't get even, you forgive. And it's not really a feeling, it's an act of the will. And I have discovered that this concept of giving, this action of forgiving, I must constantly repeat it in my life. Well, here's the second way that you can find peace. We find relational peace, and that's found through forgiveness. But we discover that you can have emotional peace, and that is found through trust. Isaiah 26:3. You, God, will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all who have their thoughts fixed on you. So here's my question. What is your mind fixed on today? You see, when the enemy seems bigger than the solution, who do you trust? The word translated trust in the Bible literally means a bold, a confident, a sure security, or action based on security. So trust is not exactly the same as faith, which is a gift of God. Rather, trusting is what we do based on the faith that we have been given. Trusting is believing in the promise of God in all circumstances, even in those where the evidence seems to be contrary. Oh, I found this so true. You know, our mind is a machine. Whatever you feed it, it will produce. Why? Because that's how God designed our mind. So you ask yourself, why did this happen? Demanding an explanation for the inexplicable will drive you insane. We learn from Colossians chapter 3 that we're to let the peace that comes from Christ control your thoughts. In other words, invite the peace of Christ to come into your head. Invite him to come into your heart. You know, the heart bone is connected to the head bone. And if your heart is at rest, your head will be at rest. And if your head is at peace, your heart will be at peace. In Philippians chapter 4, we're told not to worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. Peace through that release. As I am not worrying and I'm telling God about everything, I'm praying about everything, everything that I need, I'm thanking him for all that he's done for me, I get this peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand. And then his peace guards our heart and our minds in Christ Jesus. So I want to encourage you today, have God's presence in your heart and you'll have God's peace in your heart. Well, here's the third area that we want to look at when it comes to this matter of living in peace. And we can have financial peace, and that is found by following God's plans. You know, generosity is an interesting way of living our lives. Generosity is not just based upon the amount of what we give. It is knowing that we are giving out of a spirit of generosity. You see, everyone can be generous. Rich people can be generous. Poor people can be generous. Rich people are rich. Generous people are generous. There's a correlation between generous and rich. As a matter of fact, Luke chapter 16, verse number 11 says this, "If you are untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches?" Now here we got to understand how God gives us his riches. If he cannot trust you with money, he cannot trust you with true spiritual riches. Oh, my friend, I believe so many Christians lose the wisdom of God because they cannot be trusted with the wealth that God gives them. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart is. The majority of our financial problems are bad habits that have produced a bad heart. Look at what the Bible says about give. Luke 6:38, Jesus says, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You see, as you think about how God is generous with us when it comes to this matter of peace, he says you got to be generous in this matter of finances. You see, God sends more money our way when we're faithful to obey with what we have. We're told in Proverbs chapter 3 that we're to honor the Lord by giving him the first part of your income. I discovered something very important about giving. I do my giving at the beginning of the month, knowing that I'm going to probably run out of money by the end of the month, so I make sure that God gets his right off the top. And I discovered by doing that, he blesses me with that 90% that's left over. Well, there's one other way that you can have spiritual peace, and that is found through faith. Trusting God completely. John 14, 27 says, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't let your hearts be afraid. Don't let them be troubled. So, Lord, we come before you on this Tuesday broadcast, thanking you for the opportunity to experience your peace. Lord, I pray that we will be quick to forgive. I pray that we will discover that we can be at peace financially when we're generous. And I pray that we'll live a life of faith. Lord, without faith, it is impossible to please you. Help us to forsake all and trust you in all areas of our lives. As we begin this new year, we want it to be the year of grace and the year of peace. And so, Lord, fill us with your peace today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.